So, causal interpretability, even though most of us won't live in the land of cause and effect, I want you to understand the rules. A main effect can be causally interpreted. Oops. That's interesting. When the conditions of the IV is randomly assigned, manipulated, and there's no confounds. Nothing's different. Right? When can a two-way interaction be causally interpreted? When the conditions of both of the involved independent variables, randomly assigned, manipulated, no confounds. And when can a three-way interaction be causally interpreted? When all three main effects can be causally interpreted. Now, it is possible to come up with weirdnesses where you've only got confounding here versus here, and you're fine everywhere else. Most of the time, if these two are confounded, that means one or the other is also different from the other six. And so it isn't really isolated confounding. You have to look very carefully whenever you think you have isolated confounding. I mean, listen to the phrase. We only fucked up a little. Okay? Where you're most likely to run into that is when you have a combination of treatment conditions or treatment by population conditions where you're not allowed to randomly assign when you are randomly assigned to others. One of my favorite examples of that is my independent variable is gender dyads. I have two boy groups, two girl groups, and boy girl groups. Can I randomly assign people to those? Kinda. I can assign a boy to a two boy group or to a boy girl group. I can assign a girl to a two girl group or a boy girl group. I cannot randomly assign a boy to a two girl group or a girl to a two boy group. So I can randomly assign each person to two out of three conditions. Okay? So you want to watch for situations of isolated confounding. Or shit only happens sometimes.
Yeah, what if your design is longitudinal?
All of this is the same stuff on the between group side. On the longitudinal side, you have to worry about the challenges of maintaining ongoing equivalence over a period of time. And that's why you see randomized trials. What randomized trials say privately, usually not in public, not even in the disclaimer at the bottom of the commercial. But what longitudinal designs and treatment outcome studies are saying is, I don't have a shot at ongoing equivalence. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to do everything that I can procedurally to have every bit of validity that I can, which is probably going to be initial equivalence part of internal validity. So I have very elaborate assignment systems and attrition fill-ins, and substitutions for mortality. And I do all sorts of things to try and maintain as much initial equivalence as I possibly can. And then just recognize that I don't have a shot at ongoing equivalence. Remember, randomization does not give us ongoing equivalence. And so most longitudinal studies sunk in terms of all of internal validity. It's a bummer. What you try to do very often, and you can do this in cool longitudinal models, is you know how if there's something that we can't randomly assign or manipulate or match or hold constant, it's a subject variable, we can measure it and make it part of the model? Well, in good longitudinal models, you'll be able to measure those potential confounds and make those ongoing equivalence confounds part of the model. And so it's that thing that we talked about, if we can't make things go away, we measure them and model them, trying to partition variance instead of hold things constant. Great question. All right.